Welcome back, everyone. Today I am here with Natasha Duborg. Natasha is a holistic detox and fasting specialist with more than 20 years of experience helping women heal the issues they've often been told they simply have to live with. Her work was born from her own health journey after overcoming PCOS, insulin resistance, adrenal fatigue, binge eating, mold illness, and reversing cancerous cell changes through natural approaches. She became determined to understand not just what the body does, but why it does it. Welcome, Natasha. How are you?
Thank you so much. I am very well.
I am
How are
so
you?
excited to have you on today. And, for our listeners, I came across Natasha on social media and she just spoke to my soul. We have such parallel stories, and I just had to reach out to her. And, one of the first things I ask my guests is, what got you into your line of work? And obviously, what I just read, she's been through it, but I want to put that like on you right now. Like, let's dive into it because I think we have so much great information to share with our listeners. What got you started? Why are you helping all of these women overcome all of these heavy things? Like, how did you get started?
Okay. Yeah. Let me tell you a little bit about my story, and I'll try and make it as short and specific as possible. So always when I introduce myself, I start by saying, yeah, I have all the fancy certifications, but I find they are not the most important when obviously they're important, but they're not the most important when you are choosing a coach to work with. Because I've worked with coaches back in the days when I was trying to heal myself with all the fancy certifications, but what they didn't have was the life experience, knowing what it was like to be in a body, living like this every day with all these symptoms that doctors and other people told you that all is in your head, or you just have to learn to live with it. So that's really where I find my story is interesting and standing out. And that's what I go for when I choose somebody to work with personally myself. It started already in my teenage years. When I first got my period, I was bleeding nonstop. And when I say nonstop, it was to the point where it stopped 7 days in a month. And then I was bleeding all the other days. So I lost so much blood that I fainted multiple times. The doctors then finally diagnosed me with something called PCOS, which a lot of people nowadays might have heard of. And they gave me medication and told me, you need to be on this for the rest of your life. There's nothing you can do to change it. PCOS also comes with weight gain, insulin resistance, crazy sugar cravings, acne, just to mention some of the things. So, obviously, as a young woman, you already feel that your body is turning against you and you feel different than all the rest of your friends. And I was watching out, I was going with my mom to the gym, and still, I was the one struggling the most out of me and my friends. So I think already feeling separated from my body and starting to hate on my body started that early an age. And, because I was always in the gym trying to at least maintain the weight I had, they asked me if I wanted to become a gym instructor. And I was like, why not? I'm spending all this time here. And that was when I was fortunate enough to meet some people within the holistic health industry that told me you can actually eat your way out of this. So they gave me a protocol to follow, stop the medication, followed this protocol for 3 months, felt so much better. Went back to the doctors, asked them to test me because I didn't believe I had PCOS anymore. But they were like, no point, you'll always have it. So test me. And it wasn't there. It didn't show up. So that was kind of the first eye-opening experience for me. And also what started this spark of, I want other women to know this. Other women in these shoes. So that's when I start to educate myself further in this field. But also, more once more, finally, for the first time in my life, I could see my body changing for the better. Maybe there is hope that I can get this dream body that I've never had. And, oop, the screen is frozen. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're good.
Okay. It just froze a bit in my end.
Good.
Okay. So what do? You sign up for a fitness competition. It's like, I'm gonna get this dream body. And I did everything, all the hardcore training, all the dieting. And trust me, it is totally going against your natural body as a woman. It is totally stressing out your body. But I got on that stage. I had that dream body for that one day. And afterwards, I found out I just couldn't control myself. I was binge eating like crazy. And also, all the way up until the competition, you train your mind without knowing to look for flaws in the mirror because you look for changes that you still need to make before you get on stage. I still have a bit of cellulite there, or still have a little bit of too much fat there. That doesn't stop just because the competition is over. It's something you've trained yourself to do every single day. So, even more bad body image combined with binge eating put me in this vicious cycle for years where I felt like a complete failure and a fraud. I could get my clients the results in the gym as a personal trainer, but I couldn't even control my own diet and eating. And I tried multiple diets. I was like, let me go on a diet from tomorrow. Let me fast, right? Didn't work. Ended up bingeing the same night until I actually hired a coach and started to work on the emotional side of things.
100%. My gosh, yes, it's incorporated in all our work, right? The nervous system.
100%. First of all, I messed up my nervous system completely by doing the fitness competition. I had so many unprocessed traumas. I lost my dad also in this period to cancer. He was sick for 5 years. Obviously, there was a lot there. So our relationship with food, as I always say to my clients now, as I know now, is never about the food. It's always about something else. So I really dive deep into emotional detoxification, but that's also when I start to look into physical detoxification because it's so much easier to access our emotions, what's in our body when we detox, when we're in a clean state.
Yes.
And after living so many years with the fitness diet, training for the fitness competition, like protein, 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 and not actually eating what I wanted and cutting all my carbs, I went the complete opposite for some years. I went detox, vegan, even raw foods, and I felt amazing. So for many years, that's how I lived. I felt so great until all of a sudden, a year ago, I was in Thailand where I spent half of my time, 50% of the year. I'm in Asia, Thailand and Bali, 15%. I'm in Europe. And I normally feel so great when I'm there. There's so much fresh food there. It's cooked from scratch. They cook right in front of you, sunlight. Like that's where I feel my best, I would say. But I got so weird symptoms. Like it started with this puffiness around my eye. I was waking up with daily. Then came the brain fog. Then came, I had like no energy. I slept like 10 to 12 hours, couldn't drag myself out of bed. I was like, this is not me. I know my body. Went to the hospital, did all the blood work, paid loads of money for testing. Everything just came back normal. The only conclusion the doctor could say was, well, we're coming up to burning season in Thailand. Maybe it's the air pollution. I was like, okay, I take myself to Bali. Continued. I felt worse and worse at this point. One of my breasts started to swell, lymph nodes under the arms. As a woman, what do you think immediately when that happens? Right. And so I was like going to worst case scenarios in my head, calling my mom saying, I have breast cancer, I'll come home. Had four different doctors to look at it, and they were like, nope, we feel nothing. It's something with your lymphatic system. We don't know what. I came home and I remember I had a week, I stretched it until last minute of me having a retreat in Spain. And normally I love my retreats. It's when I get to meet my clients in person because I normally only work online with clients. So I've been looking so much forward to this, but because everything that was going on with my state of health, I did not want to go home. I was trying to do everything I could to To fix this, I went on a fasting retreat, water fasting, because that's something that worked so great for me in the past. It did nothing. I stretched it until 1 week before my retreat. I returned to Spain and I tried to fast that 1 week before my retreat on water just to try and get myself to a better state. Nothing. Anyway, I pulled it out. The retreat went great. Nobody noticed, but I was not great. But at least it shifted focus for a while. And that's when I started to really like, after throwing all this money on testing and supplements and everything that didn't work, I was like, okay, what do you always tell your clients? I stopped for a while. It's like you tell them to shift focus from let's chase the symptoms, let's like test, 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 let's spend all the energy of finding out what's wrong with you. And instead, let's put this energy towards healing because I know what it takes. So I dived into what is the strongest healing modalities out there. Obviously, my lymphatic system seems clogged. I still didn't know at this point what was going on with me. But I knew, okay, these are the symptoms. That's a sign of a body that is in survival mode, lymphatic system that's co totally clogged up, can't detox. And I came across dry fasting, something I've only experienced a little bit with, like, maximum 24 hours in the past. I took myself away to a dry fasting retreat because I knew I had to be around like-minded people. Not that I wouldn't have been able to do it myself, it's just so much easier. So I just picked one of the ones and went there. I met two guys, connected immediately, and they told me it's mold. They were really, really sick. And I was like, I don't want what you guys have. So, nope, that's not it. I kept refusing it. Anyway, after that retreat, I fasted close to 4 days on nothing, no water, no food. And all my symptoms started to turn around. I wasn't completely healed, but it definitely moved the needle massively. And then I started looking into mold when I came home, and I was like,
Right?
that's what it is. And I did a lot of other things. But basically, that was the, I've been through all of the other stuff, the PCOS, the binge eating. I had cancerous cells in my uterus also in that period. But nothing had felt so terrible like the mold illness. That's the worst I have ever felt in my entire health journey. But I also know now, being out on the other side, that it was meant to happen for a reason because I went so deep within myself. Both, I learned so much more about health, detoxification, like the rebuilding periods in between the dry fasting, and emotionally deeper than I've ever had. I cleaned up my life, like my social circle, my house, everything. And I can say that I've come out a better coach and a better person on the other side. So I'm actually grateful for it, even though I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
It's so profound. Everything that you just said, I'm like shaking my head the whole time because it's like, yes. And I live a parallel life, same thing. It took me a very long time to figure out and connect the dots to all of my symptoms from IBS and anxiety and chronic infections and strep and tonsils out in my early life to them wanting to give me a hysterectomy at 40. And that's what was my boom trigger when I started to dive down the rabbit hole and found mold, mycotoxins, candida. And when you find that, and then you start to clean up these things, like you said, and realize that these are things that are neurotoxic. So, they not just affect toxically in your body where you're inflamed and your organs are stressed and all these things are happening at the same time. Your gut's wrecked, and we know your immune system lives in the gut, your serotonin and your neurotransmitters, the gut-brain connection, all these things that can affect brain fog and focus and mood, anxiety, all these things. And then when you start to connect the dots, and it's like that aha moment of like, whoa. And then, like you said, the things to clean it up. So, looking at the nervous system, and that was one of the biggest things for me. You know, looking at all of what you said, an
Yes.
environment in the house, and even when it comes down to the people that you're surrounding yourselves, or you know, things that are driving the nervous system, and different past traumas, current stress, all of those things, and how that can affect a flare. So let's dive into that a little bit. Let's talk about, so like for me, even I generally have a raspy voice, as you can hear. You know, we talked about this earlier. I'm coming out of a flare right now, and I decided a few months ago to get some beautiful pictures taken at a wonderful 100 and something year old castle that's 20 minutes from my house. My photographer was like, "Yeah, let's go do it. It's beautiful." Well, 95 degree day in a humid, disgusting, smelly, like what could go wrong? Well, here we go. This is what could go wrong. That plus some stress going on, some big stress going on. A little already leaky gut from stress and other things. And then bam, here we go in the flare, experiencing all of the things. You know, the brain fog's coming back. I'm losing hair in the shower. I'm feeling like I'm on glue during the day. I'm usually like the high energy, let's go. Like this, you know, as soon as that's the first thing I see when I'm just like low energy and low motivation, which is so not me. So, you know, that's one of my big triggers when I know, like, I've been around it. If I work in a building with it, I know the house I grew up in. Like, things when I look back when I didn't know what I didn't know as a kid, chronic ear infections and strep infections, and all these, like you said, heavy periods, all these crazy things. I had the endometriosis diagnosis, which people are now starting to look at, just like PCOS, how it just got renamed. I don't even know. They added the metabolic part into it now. So
Yes,
I
they did.
call it the disease known, formerly known as PCOS. But, you know, now we're looking at it as like, hey, there's a metabolic function here. This has to do with like not just your hormones. Obviously, hormones are affected by all these things, but it's not like, oh, here, take a birth control pill. We're starting to look at like, hey, insulin might be a key player here. Like, so kind of the same thing with endometriosis with me, where it's like, you know, always been put on the birth control. Okay, let's fix it with hormones and things like that, where it's like, maybe we take a look at what's going on a little bit deeper and even find looking at metabolic, looking at mold exposure. So I know for me, it's usually like building. Did you ever come across like where was your big exposure? Or was it years of dysbiosis with different like nutrition? And like you said, you kind of went through it at different ages and stages, and you know it started in your teens. Did you have exposure that you like, where do you know where it came from?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So I know for sure that where I stayed when it all started in Thailand at this newly renovated hotel, but in Thailand they're poor, they just paint on top of things, you know, and they don't surround the walls and everything like that, so it can look nice. But I know for sure that that place is mold. The reason why I know that is I went back the next year, and after sleeping there one night, I wake up, boom, with all the symptoms, the puffy eyes, the brain fog, like, and they've been gone for months. So at this point, I'm basically a walking mold detector test. I can tell immediately that's good or bad.
Oh my gosh,
But
me too.
so I know for sure that's where it started. The problem is, and this is what a lot of people don't know, it's that some people have a specific genetic mutation that makes them unable to detoxify mold. Other people doesn't have this, and yes, they might feel not so great while they're in it, but when they're out of it, no problem at all. The body does the trick. With our bodies, even though we get out of the mold, we might still have a lot of the symptoms because we have this genetic mutation, so basically mold colonizes us. So we have to do many more things in order to really get to the root of it and get it out, pull it out of our system. Looking back, I will say, based on a lot of the symptoms that I had in my childhood, chronic ear infection, chronic throat infection, yeah, the constant periods. My family home where I grew up definitely also had it. I can see some of the symptoms that my mom, who still lives there, is probably struggling with today. Okay, I don't think she has the gene mutation because she would have reacted much more strongly, but after so many years, she will still react with some more subtle symptoms. So yes, looking back, I think I already had it. Then I was probably okay because I detoxed so much after my fitness competition days, all of that, and I support my system. I wasn't living in it. But then going back, and it's not, and I talk to people who has who's really sick from mold and who also has the gene mutation. It's not immediately when you move into a house necessarily that has got mold, you get sick. Your body still needs to build these antibodies, but then once they're there, once you react, that's when you're in big trouble. And now I am at a point where I can live a normal life again, at my day-to-day normal life. Like I can go to the gym, I can eat normal things, like my gut is working, I have energy, I look and feel normal. However, I'm still where I can't just go on a holiday wherever and not worry. I still have to do trial and error where I live. Sometimes it's just not worth it for me. So my next goal is to work on getting to some place, obviously, where I get my body strong enough and detox my body enough in order to be able to go somewhere where, yes, there might be a little bit like you're having this photo shoot in this building one
Right.
single day, and we're still okay. That doesn't happen tomorrow. I know it will take time. That's okay. But it's always good to have things we work on. So,
100%. And I say that to my clients all the time. And I use myself as an example to my clients all the time, hey, I'm right here with you. Like, healing is not linear, right? Like, it's not like up straight to the finish line. Sometimes when people are detoxing, most of the time when you're detoxing, it gets worse before it gets better when you start to kill off the things that don't
Absolutely.
belong, right? You can get
Absolutely.
100%, right? So you get into the zone where, okay, and it can get frustrating, which is why I think people like us that when you're working with somebody, it's not just like, up, oh, what do I do to detox? Up, oh, here's a quick little thing. Like, you know what we do when we're working with ourselves and our patients. It's very much like it's a strict process, and it doesn't just involve, oh, here, take these supplements. It very much is, are you draining properly? There's a lot of different ways to do that. Do you have a genetic mutation? What's going on with your nervous system? What's your current stress levels? Is there something from your past that you're holding on to, past traumas? All of these things affect the way you detox, because if your body's in fight or flight and doesn't feel safe enough to get it out, you can just stay stuck in that cycle, or where it might be like, okay, you get just to the point where, and then bam. And I think that's a lot of times with me, I feel like it's stress. I feel like stress keeps my gut distressed.
Yes.
And that's just me. I'm that, I, and I work on my nervous system like a beast now, because, several years ago, I didn't know
No.
the magnification of how important it is to get control of the nervous system and learn different exercising and breathing techniques and meditation and get away the bad things and only allow you to surround yourself with the good things, how important that is to heal from something like mold, right? So I think that, when we're in this phase, it's not like, that's why we're so passionate about the way that we help people, because it's not just, oh, here, take this protocol and you'll be fine. There's a lot of ins and outs, and a lot of our experiences comes with it, right? Like you said at the beginning of this podcast, I can slap on my doctorate in pharmacy. I can slap on my 17 certifications that I have in nutrition and personal trainer and functional medicine. And the best information that I can give people is what I've been through as a human and the experiences, what worked, what didn't work. And not everybody's the same, right? Like you said, somebody can have a genetic mutation where some of us just don't detox from things as easy or other. You can have five people living in a house and maybe two people are deathly ill and the other three are like, fine, we're good, you know?
Absolutely. And I think what you said there, that is one of the biggest reasons I think why people don't heal, not just from mold, but any type of chronic illness. And I see this over and over again. It is, they're missing how big a part the nervous system healing, the emotional healing has to play. Because when we are sick and we've been sick for a long time. Our body has been in a constant fight or flight mode, and a lot of these chronic diseases, like the really bad fungi, the really bad pathogens and viruses, bacteria, they go to where we have the most fat. That's our brain and our nervous system. So obviously our nervous system is completely attacked. Then what I see people doing is they come and they throw all of these detox methods, like even the dry fasting. What they might only hear from what I'm saying is dry fasting work. Let me go and throw a dry fast at you. No, that's the worst thing you can do before you gotten your body ready. Or apheresis, this like blood cleansing that people also do, where they take out all the blood, clean it, and throw it back into their body. Yeah, can be great if your nervous system is ready for it. But if not, what your body will do is it will look at this at another attack, and it will resist, and it will create even more symptoms. So there's so many things that needs to be done where nervous system healing is like such a big key. And that's not in the beginning. That's like all the way through everything else you're doing.
It's so true. And the thing that I kind of run into roadblock with, and I'll say my patients, and I'll even say myself, you know, I know when I need to be like, all right, Court, get it together. Like, I know when I'm not doing the work. I know, right? Like, we know.
Yes.
Like, okay, silly. Like, you know what to do. You're not doing it. Get it together. But I know a lot of times I run into that with my patients. And it's so funny because this is one of those things that I learned from myself, right? Like, I learned probably a little over, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago in my healing journey, how much nervous system played a part in my healing. And when that's not under control, how the other things just don't, you know, I just can't get there. I might feel a little bit better. I might be able to just get through my day and be pushing through, but I'm not at like optimal wellness. And that's something that now, when I used to sit down with my patients and do a health history, and I used to ask them about their stress levels, and I used to, oh, okay, the common things, oh, you know, family, finances, work, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, I get it. You know, just making sure there was nothing like really a really bad trauma or something going on. But now I put that on the top of the list of you need to prioritize that because I've seen it work and I've seen it not work. And what you just said is so powerful because I think what so many people, what I try to make them understand, and some people get it and some people don't, is that just having a chronic illness that comes out of left field when you go into a building for, you know, that you should be able to be okay with if you're going in a building for an hour, or like you said, going and staying, you know, in a building overnight and going into a complete flare. I think our bodies, it's like that book, The Body Keeps Score. Our body knows I'm like you. I'm a human mold detector. I can a mile away, even if I hug somebody with a mildewy, I'm like,
Yeah.
you gotta clean your masher out because you're holding on to some stuff there. Like I 100% am like you in that sense. But it's like, you know, looking at it from a standpoint of being able to recognize that our body recognizes that it's a hey, I'm scared of this environment. Our body recognizes it before our brain does and
Yeah,
says, hey, this
it's a
is not a
threat.
safe, right? This is not a safe environment. This is like this is here we go again. You know, it's you know, and I think that people don't understand that when we talk about stress and past traumas and current traumas, that having a chronic illness is a trauma to the body. It keeps the body in fight or flight, whether it's mold, whether it's a symptom of mold or other toxins, whether it's migraines or whether it's fatigue or heavy periods, whatever it is that somebody's coming to and they're saying, like I'll use migraines as a big one. I have a lot of people that come to me with migraines, and it's like that's a trigger, right? Like as soon as you feel one coming on, it's like, oh, I'm not safe. I'm not safe. Like you have to make your body, you have to tell your body it's safe sometimes. And I think that this is just, it's such important work that I think that we do with our patients, right?
Yes, no, I agree with you. And it's essential. It can be so hard to understand that sometimes the most basic things are the ones doing or making the biggest difference. So if the basic and the foundation is not there, nothing else will work, even though they are good tools as well. I always say, like, yes, there's a whole protocol I take clients to, but we have to start with making your body feel safe and doing the basics, like getting sunlight in your eyes before the first half an hour of waking up, not being on your phone as the first thing in the morning, not constantly exposing yourself for EMF, not starting your day with coffee that will spike your cortisol level, all of these small basic things that people don't realize they need to be in order before we then talk about, okay, let's open up your elimination channels. Let's fix your thyroid, because that's another thing that will go down when we have chronic illness. Let's then throw in the dry fast. Let's then throw in the antifungals, the binder, the right binders, maybe the inhalation, all of these things that they are looking to do, and peptides and supplements and whatever they are adding. They will not work. And it's not that there's anything wrong with them. It was just the timing that was completely wrong.
That's exactly the truth, and that's why, it's hard on social media when people, see a post and we're trying to give out information and try to help people learn, and then they'll say, "Well, what do you do to detox?" And it's like, "Well, that's a loaded question. What are we detoxing from? What all of these factors that we just mentioned, like what is the living conditions, past and present? All of these things factor into it. So it's not an easy answer, and I think so many people don't understand that. And I know that it's hard to make somebody understand, especially the nervous system, when they don't understand it. So I guess shifting gears a little bit, looking at you talked about dry fasting, and that was such a big factor in healing for you. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I absolutely can. So it's something that we actually not hear a lot about. I've also found out that it's completely censored. So all my posts on Instagram were before I found out that I put dry fasting. They're like, "We removed this, we removed this, we removed this." I had
It's
to
the
like try
worst.
and get them back again. Sometimes I was lucky I did, but not always.
Any of
And
the things that work are helpful, they flag, and you're not allowed to talk about them, right?
listen, you can't even search. Try search dry fasting on Instagram. They say, "Oh, do you need help?" Yeah. Whereas the word fasting is not. So that's probably why people have no clue about dry fasting. They're just told you can't go more than 3 days without water, you'll die. Listen, there's people that gone above 20. So not true, but obviously you don't do this from one day to the other. There are so many things you have to do before in order to make your body strong enough in order to handle a dry fast. However, it is the most powerful healing tool out there, because what happens when we're dry fasting that can't happen when we're water fasting is when we completely stop the water intake, our body is forced to produce something called endogenous water that is produced from your fat tissue. As we were just mentioning, all of these persistent, like bacteria, viruses, molds, they hide in our fat tissue, right? Where we have the most fat. So your body will make this water, and that's basically what you're going to urinate out every single day. And you can see this with your own eyes. Like, I have pictures from all of my dry fasts and all of my clients where we have almost a liter worth of different jars. We are nerds. I get them to send me
Love it.
pictures of their urine. And you'll see your body is able to produce up to a liter a day, but not only that, you have the thickest layer of sediment. Sediment, it's basically this, it can look like just cloudiness, but when you have a lot, and I had especially the first dry fast I did after the mold illness, it's like a thick layer of just white sediment in the bottom of the glass. And it shows the proof, because this is our main pathway, main exit route of lymphatic waste, with our lymphatic system being our detox system. So that's one of the reasons why I love it so much. The second reason is a dry fast is way better for our nervous system. Most people that are throwing themselves into fasting, and especially dry fasting, nobody that is just feeling good and just want to do it for fun is doing that. Now, at least that's very few people. Everybody I've met that come to me because they want to dry fast is because this is the last option. They're desperate. They're looking for a way to heal. That's how they usually come across it. So our nervous system is already messed up. But I will still say 90% of people in today's world has messed up nervous system. So a long water fast, which is what it takes to sometimes heal these more persistent things, it puts so much stress on your adrenal glands and nervous system. You have to go one third of the time of dry fasting to get the same results as you have to do with water fasting. One day of dry fasting equals 3 days, more or less, of water fasting. So way better for our nervous system. And another reason is we actually produce a specific enzyme that we can only release when we stop having water that prevents us from losing muscle mass. When we dry fast, we rarely lose any muscle mass. When we water fast, a lot of it is also muscle mass. That's what we want to hold on to, right? And the last reason is it's easier. You go into ketosis faster. It's way more pleasant. Like, I will never water fast again. And all my clients say this. After trying dry fasting, I will never water fast again. But you have to be careful. You have to prepare the right way. Refeeding is key here. Like, so there's so many things you have to do thyroid therapy after, because all kinds of fasting will still put some stress on the body that still requires some thyroid support. So, but it is a super powerful healing tool. I've seen the most miraculous healing stories. I've seen a woman coming in a wheelchair and walking out. I've seen a woman who almost couldn't see. She had these thick, thick glasses. Her daughter was helping her around. She took off her glasses and she read what was across the room. Like, miracle stories that just shows what is possible.
That's amazing. So that's something that I would like to try. What does it feel like? Do you have to literally like shut down? Can you function? Like, are you able to like do any normal functions, or do you just have to kind of go into this like cocoon?
So yeah, that's a good question. You have to go into cocoon. So that's the thing with, and also, how do I choose dry fasting over water fasting, and sometimes water over dry with some clients, because they don't have the opportunity to completely put their life on pause for 3 days. They have kids, they have work, and they can't say pause. But that's when they sometimes then come to my retreat that I host once a year, because then it's that pause button, and they can do that, because you have to not talk a lot. The longer you go, the more it's important that you really spare your voice, because we lose so much hydration just from speaking. So I usually tape my mouth a lot of the time when I am dry fasting, just to really spare. The worst symptom is dry mouth.
Okay.
Like, mine usually got so dry that in the end I have like lips that are sticking to my teeth. It's very interesting because you learn complete detachment from food. One thing you don't even care about, and this is good for anyone, and I know this might sound contradictive, anyone that has somehow challenged relationship with food, which I will say is a lot of women out there in today's world because of the media and so on. Fasting really teaches you, especially dry fasting, to completely distance yourself. And it also makes you so aware of habits, thoughts, and behaviors. And it really breaks that cycle completely. Whereas water fasting, because you still have the hydration, you actually do the opposite. You over-obsess about the food. I've had people writing cookbooks and like Googling where to eat and list of restaurants to try after. And this is like not what we want to do. But with dry fasting, the only thing you're thinking about is water. So it's actually also very powerful for resetting and rebuilding our relationship with food. Did I answer your
I
question, or
think
did I go completely off the track? I don't remember.
no, that I think was fantastic, because not only did you cover the whole, detox and getting rid of that, the portion that we're, mold, whatever people are toxic from, just releasing whatever we're holding on to. But I think that that's such another powerful topic. We could do a whole nother podcast on of, body image and how even body morph, like right now, as I'm going through my flare and coming out, like literally, I'm not even kidding, in a matter of, it seemed like overnight, but it probably was about 10 days, I have put on 12 pounds of absolute inflammation, right? It's
Yes.
inflammation, and it's And I even said it the other day to my dad, and he's like, I can see you look a little bit puffy, but you don't look like fat, overweight. Like you don't look like you gained that. And I'm like, I got on the scale and I'm not a weigher. Like I usually just go by the way my pants fit, right? And if my pants are getting snug, and I know it's usually like, okay, what's going on right now with my fluid in my body? And am I doing my vibration plate and drinking my minerals and doing all these things that I do to keep myself draining? I'm a poor drainer. I've got to bust out my gua sha tools and do all the things, right? So I look at it like it's wild when even when I just look back at pictures over the years, how fast my body can morph from inflammation and just water weight and just what the bad things that I'm holding on to. And every time that I'm in a flare, that I'll call it a mold flare, I'll call it an endometriosis flare. I don't know what it is anymore at this point. When I get the flare, I know it's a toxic flare that I need to get stuff out when it happens. And like you said, the human mold detector, I usually know what it is. It's not usually not like, why is this happening to me? It's like, I know exactly why it's happening to me, right? So I think that you just brought up such another amazing, amazing topic that I think that we should get on the calendar for another podcast, because I think that it's so important for women and men. Like it's, but mostly women, this image that we've always been shown to have, and they're half of them are airbrushed pictures. I know magazines aren't them. Well, now social media, I mean, gosh, you can create an image by AI and people are trying to be that, and it's not even a real, it's a fake image,
No.
you know? Right. So it
Not even
used to be,
the person in the picture looks like that picture.
right? It's like when we were younger, it was, oh, a magazine cover. Oh my gosh. And airbrushed and whatever. Now it's like, you can just be like, hey, create a da da da. And it's like, wow, it's just mind blowing. So, and then we get these false senses of, what we should look like, what we should feel like, what should be happening. And that circles all back around and kind of connects the dots to the whole nervous system topic that we started out with in this conversation. Connecting it back around because, it's that whole, I think that's fascinating what you said, how it kind of almost retrains the brain. And
It
I
does.
always say to people, your vagus nerve, you're like literally connects your brain. It's like a bundle, it's like a ball of yarn in your brain, and it goes all the way down to your butt and it drops off at every organ in between and affects every system, every thought process, everything, right? Like it's not just woo-woo, it's science. Like this nerve connects your brain to everything. So when you're having these thoughts about it's all connected. So I think that it's important for people to recognize that, and the fact that going through something like a dry fast can not just help with detox, but detox of the body, actual physical toxins, but it can actually help detox the mind, the nervous system, which is fantastic. So kind of to wrap things up, how can people get in touch with you? Tell me a little bit more about your retreats. How often do you do them? Just talk about them a little bit and how people can get in touch with you, because dry fasting sounds obviously simple. Okay, don't eat or drink anything, but no, you don't just like, no, it's not simple. Like, right, you said, like when you reintroduce, you there's a right way and a wrong way, just like detox, right?
So basically, the best place to find me is my Instagram. I share stuff there almost on a daily basis, and there's so much valuable information I share for free. So you can probably put the link somewhere, but it's Natasha Duborg. My name is spelled. And thank you, mom and dad, for this, but the way that nobody else spells it. So it's NATASCHA. And then
Listen,
Duborg.
I'm Courtney with a K, so.
I mean, Duborg. And so I don't just do retreats. That's kind of my luxury offering where people that re really want to come get their one-on-one service. That only happens once a year because what I do with my retreats is I personalize every single protocol. So you will have an discovery call with me before even booking. So we find out whether it's the right thing for you, right fit for the retreat. And then a month before the retreat, we will have a one-on-one. You would have filled out a detailed health assessment form, everything I need to know about you. Then you will receive your pre-retreat protocol. Because if we are dry fasting, there's a lot of preparation that needs to be done in a step-by-step way. At the retreat, that's where we have daily check-ins. So you get feedback on your biomarkers because it's really important we check biomarkers every single day when we're fasting. I look at your urine draws. I look at your heart rate. I look at everything. But we also have emotional healing and nervous system healing classes. And it's in a beautiful, beautiful venue in my favorite place in Spain called Tarifa, the south. It's overlooking the ocean. You can see both Gibraltar and the south of Africa there. So it's really special. So
Wow.
that happens once a year. I have a waiting list to the one in April next year. So you can get in touch for that. Then the rest of the time, I work one-on-one with clients, also with dry fasting protocol. I have a girl who is stopping today. She did her first ever 4 days. So I'm super proud of her. And then I have group programs also. I don't run them direct in December, but I have them starting in September. So watch out for that also.
Awesome. And I will put your contact information in the show notes too for anybody listening across all the platforms. So this is just awesome. Thank you so much for being on today and for all this information. Even some of it new to me. Dry fasting, I think it sounds fantastic. It's fantastic. So
Let me know if you try it. I really think you should. And
I
thank you
think
for
I will do it under your guidance.
having
Thank you so much for being on today, Natasha. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, too. It was really nice.